Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Father, you know my prayer is that you'll move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us, Lord, who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. For those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. Lord, this is your word. As we are in the book of Esther, help us to see what you want us to see. Help us to change the things you want us to change. Help us to hold on to the things that you want us to hold on to. And do not compromise whatsoever. Thank you for today. Thank you for what you want to teach us. In Jesus' name, we all say.
Praise God.
We had a good time last week getting into the first chapter of the book of Esther. I think that there was many that learned a whole new concept of the first chapter of Esther. Talking about why the king put on such a party for as long as he did, over half a year, wasn't just for a party, it was because he was preparing to attack Greece, and he needed all of his leaders of all the provinces, all 127 provinces there, in order to plan that. It took him 4 years to plan the attack on Greece. It took Greece only a couple of fights to send him back home. He was really upset about his dad being whipped by Greece, and I believe his father was Darius. We're talking about Xerxes, Ahasuerus, in some Bible uses his name. We're talking about chapter 1 is in 483 B.C. Now, we ran into Queen Vashti last week, and when she refused to come, and I was saying how much I disagree with many of the commentaries of the reason why she refused to come. She had also put on a party after the 180 days. They put on a party for 7 days. And I believe it was because after all the leaders of all the provinces had left, that he put a party on for all the people that had served for that 180 days. And Queen Vashti put on a party for all the wives and the ladies of the court. And I believe that sometime during that 7 days, there was a lot of conversation going on between the girls. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And I made my point of the difference between four guys driving from Seattle to Vancouver and four ladies driving from Seattle to Vancouver. I think I gave the guys a couple extra miles. We made them go to Portland. And they still didn't talk any more than they would have. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Ladies go on a trip like that, they are just getting warmed up after 3.5 hours. And say, girl, we got to do this again. Can I have an amen from somebody?
Amen.
So I believe that Vashti was encouraged wrongly by her girlfriends. So when the king sent for her, that was probably 7 of them said something like this, very spiritual. If I was you, I wouldn't go. Okay? And that's where we find ourselves. How many of you have ever heard this statement? Well, it's my decision. It's not going to affect anybody else. How can one person's decision affect everyone else? Queen Vashti's one decision got all 127 provinces involved. So I don't know who you are. I don't care who you are or who you think you are. I don't care how isolated and unknown you think you are. If you are in a community, your decisions affect a lot more than just you. If you are in a home, your decisions affect everybody in the home. if you have a job, or if you are looking for a job, the decisions you make will affect everyone that's involved with having you get that job. As a matter of fact, something I want to announce, and we'll get a date so we can do this, and we'll see if we can do it quickly as possible. And that is, you know, we have fertility prayers. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And oftentimes, the families doing the fertility prayers that don't want to get pregnant sit way in the back. Don't want to have any collateral damage. And we have prayed for many that could not get pregnant and have gotten pregnant. Because I think bringing it before the Lord and honoring Him and asking Him to move and giving Him the honor works.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen?
So what I'm thinking is, wouldn't it be a good thing for us, for those that are looking for employment, I think about changing employment, to have a day of commitment to pray for that. And have everyone that needs that to come up front, and man, we just lay it out unto the Lord. Would that be a good idea?
Yes.
And I think that we'd be more than happy. I'm praying for a new job. I'm a funny guy. Can I have an amen? No, I'm not. Not me, baby. I love where I am. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But we want to pray for all those that are thinking about changing careers, jobs, or need work. Need their jobs improved that you are at. So we will be announcing that very soon so we can have that done. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, back chapter 1. Back up a little bit on what we got last week. We want to go back to verse 10. So we can set this up about the greatest lie that any of us can give ourselves is, it's just my decision. How can it hurt anyone else? On the seventh day, when the heart, verse 10, of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehumam, Bista, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zitha, and Carcass. One thing we all agreed on, if they was in my neighborhood, they would all be beat up.
Yes,
was told by the king, go and pick up Queen Vesta, bring her here, for she was good looking, and we wanted to show her off. Now, let me ask you a question. The seven guys, seven chamberlains, that was asked to go get Queen Vesta, how happy do you think they are on the way down there to get her and obey the king on his decision? Do you think they're going, man, this is great, man. This is a party time, baby. Ha, ha, ha. We're going to go down and get the queen. The king is all happy. Man, I couldn't ask for anything more than to be sent by the king to go get the queen. And we get to look at her all the way back. Now, I think that was probably the first response when they was first asked. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
King asked you to do something? Are you happy or unhappy about the king wanting to use you? Now, each one of us, if we are believers, we got a king.
Yes, sir.
You're telling me you're not happy when the king asks you to do something. Especially when you don't know what the outcome's going to be if you do it. Now, who's more important? King Xerxes or King Jesus? So I think they're just bubbling. Oh, they're probably pretty drunk too. Can I have an amen? Holy Spirit can even override the spirits. Amen. I'm telling you. I've seen a lot of drunk people get sober very quick. And it didn't take coffee. Drunk man walk in my yard, my dogs will get him sober. So I bet they're just going down. I bet they're talking to each other. Man, you know, aren't we glad that we are where we are, man? The king wants to use us. And we as believers should be in that same position. We should be put in a position. And they was there for the king to be able to ask him to go. How many of us make sure that we are available to the king when he wants something done. I'm amazed at how many Christians will answer this way when God, word, through the Spirit, asks us to do something. And that is, well, let me pray about it. I don't know if you can see me good up there. You can see me, can't you? I'm leaning. That means response. Thank you. I got one. How do we make ourselves available for God to use us? Availability has nothing to do with talent. Availability has nothing to do with how you look, how you don't look. Availability has nothing to do with how you act or don't act. Availability means you are available to the king when he needs you. And the biggest problem half the time is that God has to end up convincing us that we need to do something instead of just getting obedience. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad we live in the age of grace. Because right now in the book of Esther, this is the age of law, both for believers and non-believers alike. And the king has the ability, if you don't obey him, to do what? Take your life. Now, when they went and they told the queen, all excited about being used by the queen said, I ain't coming. That means they got to go back to the king without the queen. Can anyone tell me the Praetorian Guard that was put on the tomb, who was given the responsibility to keep that tomb closed, what they had to do the next morning when they could not even keep it closed and Jesus was gone? The stone rolled away. Now, 16 soldiers, Praetorians, were put on that tomb. If one soldier failed, all 16 was killed. That's what you call accountability. Can I have an amen? You make sure your buddy did not fall asleep. Make sure he did his job. You know how they got out of it? The Pharisees and the priests says, if this gets back to the governor that you did not do your duty, we will protect you. Read it sometime. You'll be amazed at what the Bible has to say. What's the best way to study the Bible?
Read it.
Read it. So they got to come back now with a message. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
They got to come back and tell the king two things. One, she won't come. And two, we couldn't bring her. Because I don't know how nice I would have been. The king told me to do it. Girl would have been in the old caveman days. I would have had a club, poop, grabbed her by the hair, and took her to the king. Can I have an amen somebody else? You're going, whoa, pastor, you're just so brutal. No, I like to stay alive. But I don't know, folks. They know this king. They know the king has the right not only to take Vesti out, but he has the right to take them out. And they got to come back and give him the message that she says she is not coming, even on his command. Verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men who knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. Now, here is what? Seven more? We had the chamberlains who went together, couldn't get her, bring the message back to the king. The king is upset, mad. Then he asked the seven, okay, now what should we do? My big question is, why didn't he kill her? He has the right as king to kill her right on the spot for not obeying him. How many of you understand that? How many of you understand that God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has the right to kill you anytime he wish. And no court can convict him. Only thing he has to do is just say, you can't breathe. That's it. One word. You and I are through. Praise be to God for grace. Do you know how much faith it takes to sin one more time? Man, it's quiet in here today. I'm serious. Do you know how much faith it takes to sin one more time? How do you know that it isn't the last time that God says, I'm going to give you grace? How do you know that? You do not know that. So it takes just as much faith to sin one more time as it takes faith not to sin at all. As a matter of fact, you're probably using more faith to go ahead and sin one more time. Tell you what happened years ago to a young lady who decided to go out and have a one-night stand, just got frustrated with God, the church. And let me give you a little secret. Don't get frustrated with the church. We're nothing but a straw. Only thing the church is, only thing a pastor is, only thing you are, is just a straw. How many of you have ever thanked the straw for how good the shake tastes? Only thing the straw does is get it from the cup to your mouth. Available. Conduit. No taste of his own. And the church and the pastors and you, we're nothing but straws. Just make ourselves available. I can just see those guys thinking, uh-oh. He's asking us for our opinion. He can kill her. But he's asking, what should we do according to the law? Now, this is what I believe. Are you ready? I know he should kill her. He know he should have her put to death. The question is, how can I get around not killing her? You go, Pastor, you're really pushing that one. Okay, let me see if I can figure this out. Who do you think Queen Vashti is? Besides being the queen at the time, who do you think she is? She is probably the mother of the next king, Artaxerxes. And Artaxerxes is at the most maybe 10 years old, probably only a little baby. I think he was born in 483, the same year that chapter 3 takes place. And if she is the mother of the next king, he probably don't think it's a great idea just to go ahead and kill her. So he's trying to find ways, what can we do to really show that we are going to hold to the law? That's what a lot of us do at times when it comes to us praying about it. We can know what the word says. Can I have an amen? We can know what God wants us to do. But it's just so nice to check out the options. I think that's why I stay in trouble. If the word says that there's not very many options for me. Okay. Here's seven more guys that'll get beat up in my neighborhood. Verse 14. And the next unto him was Karshina, Shetha, Amatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, who saw the king's face and who sat in the first in the king's kingdom. Now, let's look at this. When you have responsibility in the ministry, guess what God wants you out? And guess what God wants your place to be? Anybody? He wants his answer to come through you first. Why is it that the last people that you heard from in our homes, on our jobs, in our own individual relationships, is oftentimes what God thinks? Who is the best counselors? Those that give what God says and not compromise. Do we have a lot of compromising going on today, especially in the church? You know why? Because we're tired of not being liked. We're tired of being called names. We're tired of being labeled as unloving. We're tired of saying, well, it's God's narrow path, so we'll change how we even do church. Beer and cigar nights to get the non-believer in. What in the world is going on? Well, Pastor, if it gets them in, really? I just want to ask a question. If Jesus was at a beer and cigar night, would it be there to encourage beer and cigars? Or would he walk in and say, this is wrong, you need to repent, and you need to do it my way? That's why he hung out with sinners, not to help them feel good about being sinners. Are you feeling all right? Some of you are feeling all right, but some of you have been to that beer and cigar night. So you're not too happy for the pastor to talk about this. How about clubbing for Jesus? We just want to be a witness. Really? You're not even a witness at church. How are you going to be a witness at the club? Can I have an amen? That I'm just a pastor. I'm just a straw. Can I have an amen? And these boys said, "Ooh, well, we got to come up with something." Verse 15, what shall we do unto the queen? According to the law, because she has not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus, Xerxes, by the chamberlains. Now the chamberlains went, told her. They came back, said she wouldn't do it. They couldn't bring her back. Now the law tells us that that's got to be a major movement on this. And we all know what should take place. But what can we do to make everyone satisfied, be a witness, and the king be satisfied? Now, I don't know about you, but this is not an easy decision when you come up and tell your son's mother she will never be in your presence again. Evidently think it's better than killing her. But it's not that easy, is it? And Memucan, verse 16, answered before the king and the prince, Vashti the queen has not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the prince and to all the people who are in all the provinces of King Xerxes. For this deed of the queen shall come to the attention of all women, so that they shall look with contempt upon their husbands. When it shall be reported, the king Xerxes commanded Vashti the queen to come to him, but she did not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's prince who have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. Can anyone tell me, if you have more than one child, can I have an amen? Come on, talk to me. How different number 2, 3, and 4 acts if they seen number 1 beat? You know, as Christians, that's not a good word to use. Beat. It is so politically incorrect today. You do not beat your children. I don't know what everyone else called it, but my mom called it a beating. Look out, she's probably back there trying to hide. Dr. Spock book, she, you know, worked for my mother. She really believed in Dr. Spark. Yeah, yeah. She bought the hardcover and beat both of them off on me. I used to forget my mother was left-handed. Anybody know where I'm going with that? I don't know. I mean, one day it was so funny. I had done something that just made mom just mad. And being a young boat show athlete, I knew I was faster than she was. So I said something, and I was going to stay on the left side, you know, away from the right hook. Next thing I know, lightning struck me. You know that my mother and I never had one argument? No, I'm serious. You know that my mother and I never had one argument? See, it takes two to argue. Mom shut it down the first time I raised my voice to try to get smart. Bam! Conversation over. No argument. That's the way it is in our house. We do not argue with our kids. You do not raise your voice in our house. I rip your tongue out and beat you with the wet end. Love our kids, but they're not going to respect mom and dad. She got so mad at me that day, I took off running. You know what she did? Ungodly as she was. Yeah, she just acted ungodly that day. She picked up a flower pot and threw it at me. I wish I had the numbers back then the kids got today. I grew up in old school. That's something about old school is not that bad. Can I have an amen? I kept a house one time for a family who had an 18-year-old son. And I should have known then something was up. Amen? They ask you to keep the house when they have an 18-year-old son. Duh. One of the rules was no parties in the house. I was playing with the Seahawks at the time, so I had to go to practice. The parents flew out that morning. I came home from practice that evening, and the neighborhood looked like a parking lot. There was a serious party going on in the house. Can you imagine? Because I had promised them what? There'd be no parties in the house. Now, am I going to keep my word as one of the representatives of the parents? Or I'm going to say, well, kids will be kids and boys will be boys. So I walked in, and at that time, the famous movie was Walking Tall. Anybody remember the one prop that the sheriff had? Was probably about a 4-foot stick. I had one of those. Walking Black. I came in, and that was kids everywhere. Upstairs, downstairs, outside, basement, my room. Now, that was really bad right there. The room I was staying in. So I knocked on the door because I had... First thing he told me is, you're a Christian. You're not going to make a scene. Don't you love that? You're a Christian. You're not going to make a scene. He goes back downstairs, shut the door, and locks the door behind him. So I walked out to the car, got my prop. Walked back and says, I'm going to count to three. And if this door isn't open, I'm kicking it in, and then I'm going to do the same thing to you. One, two, click, click, click. Door swung open. I went down. At that time, I don't know if you remember the 33s, the albums with the needles. That's one of the most expensive things on the phono, was the type of needle and electronics. You know what a 4-foot stick can do to a little needle? I think I was the first rapper to... I took that stick right down on top of that thing. I said, I want everybody out of here. Don't rush. You got 10 seconds. I'm going to start swinging this stick. Came back the next night. That was a party. Didn't do anything with his friends, but boy, did he regret it. You know what he told me? He said, if you touch me, I'm calling the police. I said, let me get the number. Next day I came home. Nobody was in the house, but he had all of his friends working in the lawn, cutting grass and trimming the bushes. What was the rule? After that first night, I said, no one can come here at all. So he did something nice to override the rule. You got kids that'll do that, and you let them get away with it? Break the rules doing something nice? God don't play that. Guess what? The king needs an answer. And the answer was, you will be excommunicated from me, and you're going to lose your queenship. Don't look like grace, does it? Can't hear you. Don't look like grace. Don't sound like grace. But I think the option that he didn't want to do was kill her, because she's the father of his son, who is going to be the next king of Persia. And he found a way to show grace. But to anyone looking outside, that don't seem like that great. She has the right to not want to come and be gawked at. Can't hear you. Always remember, your decisions never stop with you. When God says something is bad, it is bad. Verse 20, and when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire. One decision affected first 7 guys who had to go back and tell that they couldn't do what they was asked. Then it affected another 7 guys who had to come up with the plan that the king needed to do what was necessary, yet show some grace. And then it affected everyone in the entire province of Persia. One rebellious decision. And that's why at Antioch, we still believe in church discipline. And we would walk and hold on to that as long as it's in the Bible. One picture is worth a lot of words. Remember that if you got more than one child. Oldest always gets it, don't they? They get most of the mistakes that we make as parents. I know we made a bunch. Because there's just no book out there to tell you how to deal with your particular kid. And the saying pleased the king when they says, we will make sure all the husbands will be honored by what they see happen to the queen. Verse 22. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to his writing, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Man, what about this male leadership stuff? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, all the way back then, they wanted men to lead in the homes. What's up with that? Can I have an amen from some of you ladies? Maybe I can get an amen from the guys. How many of you remember a show that used to come on called Politically Incorrect? Remember that show? Mara. Is that his name? Mara? They had some local shows here in Seattle, Politically Incorrect. And the very first one they had, it was four of us on the show. Susan Powder. I don't know if you guys know who Susan Powder is, the workout guru. Woman who hates men. All right, can I get an amen? She detests men. And had a haircut, short, flat top. Like a man. She was one of the guests. Susan Powder. Second guest was Al Franken. Al Franken. We're having a good panel, right? The third person on the panel was Pepper Schwartz. I don't know if you guys remember the psychologist that was Oprah's guru for a while. And the fourth person on the panel was your pastor. Ken Hutchinson. Three Jews and a black man. All right? So they didn't know much about me because I was a black pastor. Most black pastors are kind of liberal, social. So they didn't know anything about me. First subject they get on the guest was brought up to the point of, is God a woman? Woo! Did that go strong, Jack? I mean, we had some serious discussion going on. And I'm sitting over in my chair just leaning back, just taking it all in. And Susan was going off. And Al Franken going off. And Pepper Schwartz going off. And they all proven that God is a woman. I mean, it is getting warm in the studio. And all of a sudden, the host looks over at me and goes, hey, we have a reverend with us. Reverend. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what do you think about this conversation been going on? You've been quiet. I said, yes, I have. She said, do you believe God is a woman? I says, would you like for me to answer that? Yes, that's why we ask. I said, no problem. I said, I'm not going to argue whether God's a woman or not, because none of you want to hear it. But I will make my point very clear. He said, what's that? I said, if God is a woman, at least she was smart enough to make men head of the home. went to commercial. Because the issue was leadership. The issue was not submitting. And their own argument, I said, because if God is God and you think she's a woman, have you read the Bible? Everything she said is right there. And I think if you understand what she said, you would drop the S and know it's a he. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a responsibility to be careful about our decisions because they never just affect you or me. Father, thank you for your word. Amen.